Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Today we want to come to Revelations chapter 2. And we are going to look at the subject, overcoming the business relationship. We are going to focus on the church of Ephesus in Revelations chapter 2, verse 1 to 7. The scriptures over there says, "To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walk in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works and your labor and your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and that you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not been weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." May the Lord add his anointing to the reading of his word. Amen. So we want to learn about a very important characteristic of the kingdom life that God has introduced to us. I'm not surprised that Jesus himself came from the heavenly kingdom to come and correct these things in his church. For he is the kingdom word of God. Jesus Christ is the word that came from the heavenly kingdom. He died for us, resurrected to the heavenly kingdom, and he decided that I am coming to speak some words unto you. Hallelujah. And so I want us to understand that these are very, very special words that the Lord Jesus Christ is delivering unto all of us. So Jesus chose to just give us a feature of the kingdom life. Because he had to do that. He felt that, no, let me interject and bring in this feature so that my church will get it very clear that the kingdom life is not transactional in nature. The kingdom life goes beyond doing activity. It goes beyond doing works. It goes beyond what I call a business relationship that you can have with God. A business relationship is transactional. You do it, and then your partner also does his part. But in a love relationship, which is really what the kingdom life is about, it goes beyond a business relationship. In fact, it is more taxing because you go beyond what you have to do in the business relationship or in the transaction. You go beyond your side of it. Hallelujah. Because you are moved by love, not by principles. So the kingdom life is a life of a love relationship with God, not a business relationship as we had in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament of the kingdom, it is a love relationship, which is a higher life. A love relationship, an agape relationship, is a relationship that is higher than any kind of relationship people can have. Because if you have a business partner, ladies and gentlemen, because you love the person, that is why you have decided to be in that relationship. But it is not an agape relationship. I want us to understand that the kingdom life is a love or agape love relationship. It's a kingdom love relationship that we need to have with God so that we disabuse our minds of transactions. The kingdom life focuses on the person of Jesus Christ, not just his principles. In a business relationship, it is just the principles which may be documented in the memorandum of understanding or whatever partnership deed or agreement that you have. But in a love relationship, you go beyond the principles of the Lord Jesus. You go to the person of Jesus, and you are motivated by the person of Jesus. The church in Ephesus that we have just read about, as it is with some believers today, are in a business relationship with God. Let's look at the very first verse. It says that these things says he who holds the seven stars, those are the seven messengers of the churches of the seven Asia Minor churches, in his right hand, who walks in the midst, please underline the midst, in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, and please underline golden lampstands. You see, so this one, we get a picture of a lampstand. In the Jewish world, it is the menorah. It is this kind of arc-shaped lampstand. It has got one stem, but it has got a seven lamps, three at the left and three at the right. In the middle, which forms the seven, really refers to the Lord Jesus. He says that I am the one who is in the midst of the lampstand. The lampstand is talking about the church of God. If you read Revelation chapter 1 verse 20, it tells us that the lampstand refers to the churches. The menorah refers to the churches. So I want you to get this picture. See the picture of the church as a lampstand, as a ruling light, ruling, R-U-L-I-N-G, as a ruling light, because light is supposed to rule in darkness. When he made the sun, he said, "I let him have rule over the earth, over darkness." Okay, so the church is a ruling light. But I want you to notice something, that Jesus is in the middle of the lampstand. So imagine very bright light and Jesus is in the middle. What would the light do to Jesus? The light is going to reveal Jesus. So if the lampstand is talking about the church, what is the assignment of the church? The church is supposed to do what? Shine his light to reveal the person who is in the middle of the light. Reveal Jesus. Hallelujah. So when we come to church, our longing must be that I want to see the person who is in the midst of the church. I long to see Jesus Christ and not anybody else revealed unto me. As we stand as men of God, as singers, as prayer leaders, as leadership, indeed, as Christians, all of us, ladies and gentlemen, we fail if we stand before the church of God and we don't reveal the person who is in the middle of the light, because the light is supposed to shine on him and it's supposed to reveal him. Hallelujah. So I want you to understand something about a love relationship. In a love relationship, you reveal your lover. In a love relationship, you don't focus on yourself. In a business relationship, you focus on yourself and how you have performed your part of the deal. What you have put on the table, you reveal it to your partner. In a business relationship, you are not interested in your partner, so to speak. You are interested in what I have done, based upon which I should have a cut of the blessing or of the results of the business, the outcome of the business, the profit, if it is a profit-driven organization. So, ladies and gentlemen, I am saying to us that in a love relationship, we focus on the lover of our soul. We shed our light on the lover of our soul. We shed our light on Jesus. We don't shed our lights on ourselves. Our focus is not on us as we walk in this life. In a love relationship, your focus is on Jesus. And I need you to remember this and never forget it. That is why the Bible begins by saying that I am the one who lives in the middle of the lampstand. I am the one that you must focus upon, that your light must reveal. Hallelujah. So that is the assignment of the church. Ephesians chapter number 3 verse 10. The Bible says that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be made manifest by the church the manifold wisdom of God. What it means is that You know that Jesus is the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30. The Bible says that he has been made unto us wisdom from God. He has been made unto us wisdom from God. Now the church is supposed to reveal or manifest the manifold wisdom of God. Jesus Christ is the many-sided wisdom of God that the church of the living God must shed its light unto, so that at the end of the day, when we leave here, we fall more in love with the lover of our souls, with the Lord Jesus, and not with any other person. Hallelujah. It's wonderful, isn't it? I need to also make you to understand that the church is a golden lampstand. Golden, the emphasis is golden. The church may not be perfect, but we are still golden. You know what that golden means? It means that we are a ruling lampstand. Gold is the king of metals. Gold is indestructible. You cannot destroy gold. Gold doesn't rust. Gold is forever. Hallelujah. And that is what the church is. The church is an indestructible golden lampstand. You can beat it, but the church will still be alive. He said that I will build my church, and the gate of Hades shall never prevail. But they will rule and they will prevail over the gates of Hades. Hallelujah. So we are a golden lampstand. We are a ruling entity. He said that I will set up my ruling assembly like a parliament, who is going to legislate things on this earth, who will say, let this be, and then it will be. That is what the church of the Lord is like, what Jesus Christ builds. But the rest of the subject, ladies and gentlemen, is about the works of the people of God during that time. He says in verse 2, I know your works and your labor, your patience. You can see that this is a mature church, because it has got works, it labors, it has got patience. These are all signs of maturity, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. In other words, it's a righteous church, okay? It's a church that does not indulge in evil, and that you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. This is a mature church that is able to sift through the liars, the deceptive people, the religious people. Says that you have checked and you have seen that these people, they are not correct people. Okay? He emphasizes in verse 3, I know your perseverance and your patience and your labor for my name's sake. In other words, the Bible is telling us about the works, W-O-R-K-S, of the church. The church has done a lot of things according to the Lord Jesus. And he says that I know it. The problem with you, he says, is that it is a transactional based work. In other words, you are working like people who are in business with me, and I don't like it. I don't like it. He tells them that repent from a business relationship, because the kingdom life that I've come from my heavenly kingdom to show you, in spite of the fact that you have human leaders, is that I want a love relationship. And that is the first thing that he talks about. I want you to have a love motive. He says, I know all your works. The problem I have with you is that they were not done out of love. In other words, you have love, but you have left it. The love is there, it's in your heart. You have left it and you are laboring for me. For my name's sake, you are refusing all the evil people around. For my name's sake, but you did it with other motives than the motive of love. Hallelujah. And that is what I want to draw your attention to. That in love relationship, we base everything on the love that we have for God. We let love become the motivation. The opposite is the way that men do things. The way that in a business relationship you are supposed to do things. You just focus on the principle. You just focus on what has been written and you do your side of it. That's a transactional relationship. And that one, your focus more is on the outward. The things that you can do, but not on the inward. The kingdom life is a life that is about your inward transformation. It is not an outward kind of modification. What he is saying is that the kingdom life is about what is within. It's an inner transformation. Because there are religious ways of doing the things of God. There are religious ways of reading your Bible. You don't read your Bible in the kingdom arrangement because it is your duty. You read the Bible because you long for him. You read the Bible because you are hungry. You are thirsty. Not as a sense of duty. In the kingdom arrangement, you don't come to church because outwardly you want people to see that you have come to church. It should be something, a passion that is from your inside. When shall I go and appear before the Lord? It is something that must be motivated by love. Hallelujah. You pray because of love. You don't pray because it is your duty. You don't pray because you are a leader and it is your responsibility as a leader to pray. You pray because you want love. You let love mingle your activities so that he wouldn't say, I know your prayers. I know your Bible reading. But the thing was not done out of love. And that is a problem I have with you. You are living a religious life, not a kingdom life. A kingdom life is one that you focus on your inside. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. That is talking about the outward. But it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. All these things are planted inside of you.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Hallelujah. For it to manifest outside. Hallelujah. So there are various ways, motives with which you can do your Christian activities. But God wants us to move away from the religious and come to a higher one. It doesn't mean that you should not do outward works, but you must do it with love, the motivation of love. Hallelujah. With your heart backing your works. Not that God will say, I know your labor, but there is no love in it. Hallelujah. You remember that the Apostle Paul spoke to this issue in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 when he said that I can speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but if there is no love in it, I'm just making noise. I can give all my goods to the poor, so to speak. I can give, but my giving can be without love. He says that it profits me nothing. He even said that I can give my body as a matter to die for God, but if it is not motivated by love for God, for which reason I sacrifice, he says that it doesn't profit me. It may profit the church, it may profit other people, you know, it may enhance the gospel, but it doesn't profit you. At the end of the day, God will say that I know the works, but you must repent, because this one, it doesn't give you the chance to eat the tree of life, which is in the middle of the garden. He takes our mind back to the first kingdom era, to the book of Genesis chapter 1. You know, he comes to Revelation chapter 1, chapter 2, and he is reminding us, taking us back to the tree of life, which is in the midst of the garden, that anybody who overcomes, I'm going to let the person eat of the tree of life. In other words, he is going to enjoy kingdom life on this earth. Not a religious life that is symbolized by the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Knowledge about the ways that the work of God can be done. You can be a very nice theologian. You can be a very nice man of God. You can be a very nice believer who knows how it is done. But the thing is, do you do it out of love? There are religious ways of conducting your life, motivating yourself. The first one is what? Doing it as a sense of duty. Your words can be done as a sense of duty because you feel that you are responsible, as a sense of duty. And then again, you can do your works, your labors, your refusing evil or living a righteous life as a sense of competition. That's another religious motivation. Competition or strife. You are in competition. It is not because of love for God that you are sacrificing, because you want to compete. You are always looking at the other person to live your life. Hallelujah. The next one is doing your Christian activities or your works to please somebody, to feel accepted by humans. That is a religious motivation also, to do your works. All these things are things that we must repent of, because it belongs to a business kind of relationship. To please your partner, your business partner, to be accepted by your business partner, not for the love. Hallelujah. You can also do your things because your Christian life and your Christian activities, because you naturally love to do it. You see, there are some things that naturally we love to do it. Naturally, maybe you love to play the organ. It's something that is your hobby. You can play the organ, and God can say that, I know your works, you play the organ. But you play the organ as a hobby. You play the organ as a sense of duty. I am responsible. I have to come and lead the people. There is nothing with the love with which he wants our works in the kingdom arrangement to be characterized by. Hallelujah. All these and many more are religious ways of doing your Christian activities, doing your things. Look at the book of Matthew chapter 6. When our dearest Jesus came in Matthew chapter 6, he told us something very important about our motives. In his very first sermon, in Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7, they are continuous sermon. The very first sermon, he handled what we are talking about today. He talked about motive management, managing your motive. Because the kingdom of God goes beyond the outward. It touches on your inside, the reason with which you are doing what you are doing. Hallelujah. That reason is very important. The reason of love is so important. It cuts complacency out. It takes our I have arrived attitude away from us. It makes us long and focus on his person, because that is the way to elicit this love that he has already shared in your heart. When you focus on his person, the love of God is going to well from your inside, and you are going to do your Christian activities and serve the Lord and sacrifice, not like a business type of relationship, but it is going to be a love relationship, because your focus is on his person. Hallelujah. When you focus on his person, because his person is love. Ladies and gentlemen, you will see that naturally, without effort, love is going to motivate the things that you do. But when you don't think about your fellowship with the person of God, when your things become routine, it becomes transactional, it becomes something that I do. This is what I do when I go to work every morning. I'm supposed to do this and do that. And that is what I have to do. Ladies and gentlemen, when we let our focus be on his person, you will see that you will, without thinking, go beyond transaction. Go beyond the activity. You will see that your inside love, which is already shed abroad, your heart by the Holy Ghost, if you are a believer, it is going to well outside, to show outside in the works that you do. And that is what is acceptable, and that is what scores us in the kingdom system. In the kingdom system, it is love for God that makes our sacrifices worth anything before Him. Otherwise, it becomes, I know your works, but you have to repent. I know your works, you have to repent. Repent of what? He said in that verse, Revelation, that he who overcomes what? Overcomes a business relationship. Overcomes a transactional relationship. Overcomes just outward works. And focuses on the love that has been shed abroad in his heart. And focuses on the person of Jesus. We cannot just come and say that, well, I'm a preacher, I know how to preach, so let me give me the microphone, I can preach. Or maybe I know how to live the Christian life. I mean, without doing, having any fellowship with his person. I'm not saying reading the Bible. I'm talking about having contact with the person of Jesus. Then it is all going to be religious. It is the person of Jesus that gives life to the things that we do. Because the letter will always kill. The works will always kill. The elder brother of the prodigal son had a transactional business relationship with the father. The father said, that is not what I'm looking for. He said that these many years I've been with you, never have I for once transgressed any of your commandments. Yet you never gave me a kid. You never gave me a kid. I fulfilled my side of it. I put everything that I, as a son, I have to do on the table. Yet you never reward me. It's as if it is nothing before you. He said, my son, all that I have is yours. When you change the way that you are doing this, you inherit it. Do you understand that? God wants us, Jesus especially, came to his church to remind us about his first sermon in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 to verse 7, where he talked about your motive for giving, that it should not be for men to see it, to make a show. He says that else you have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. And he says that when you pray, enter into your closet and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. He says that don't pray like the hypocrites do. You know, like the religious people do. They love to be seen by men. It was all outward works. Hallelujah. He's saying, Jesus is not saying that we should not pray in public. Or we should not pray aloud for people to hear. When we are praying, we must always enter into our room. That is not what he's saying. Understand the principle. He is just talking about the motive with which you do it, even publicly. Is it for to be seen by men? Or because you love the Lord? Hallelujah. Is it as a sense of duty? The whole duty of man, pastor, is to fear God. That it belongs to the old. Hallelujah. We have a relationship-based thing. We have a love-based thing, ladies and gentlemen, and that is what God wants. I will not want my son to obey me because he fears me, and it's his duty as a son to obey me. I want my son to know that I love him so that he obeys me because he loves daddy, and daddy loves this thing. So I'm doing it because I know daddy loves it done like this. When I see things like that, it makes me happy. You don't want people to obey you because they fear you. You want people in the kingdom system, you want people to obey you as God wants because they love him. Hallelujah. He tried to instill fear in Adam and Eve by telling them, the day you eat this thing, you will die. In fact, the Hebrew says that dying, you will die. He mentioned die twice, but they didn't fear. They went to eat it. But you see, God often teaches us how not to do something before the last Adam, the real Adam, comes. And he says that this is how God wants it done. You must be motivated by love. So you must pray, like in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Let's end there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And then we will read at verse 5. This is how I want us to pray. Pray for yourself. It says that now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. We will not want it like that. We will say, may the Lord direct you to work for God. May the Lord direct you to read His word. It is good. Please don't misunderstand my message. I'm not saying that don't work for God, don't sacrifice for God, don't do outward things. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking to you about the motive with which you do it. Motive management. Hallelujah. He said it in his first sermon. He dies, comes back, and he comes to the church, and he's telling the church the first, what he said in the first sermon, that watch your motives. Because murder goes beyond taking a knife and killing people. He says that if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. He is just turning us to see that this is not religion. This is not dressing and speaking thee and thou like a pastor. This is not wearing long robes with color like a pastor. I'm not saying don't wear color. I'm telling us that what is necessary is the motive with which we are doing our Christian life. That is the call that Jesus Christ was giving, as it was in his very first sermon. Hallelujah. That's a reminder he's giving the church. You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.